You're watching Meet the Movie Press. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Jon Favreau returning to the MCU, a new director for Pitch Perfect 3, Richard Linklater's sequel to The Last Detail, and maybe a little Lando Calrissian.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Hello, Simon.
Good
morning.
How are you?
You all right?
Yes.
Good.
I am good today. I am good.
Excellent.
My name is Jeff Snyder. This is Meet the Movie Press. You can find me on Twitter at TheInSnyder.
My name's Simon Thompson. Hello. You can find me on Twitter at Showbiz Simon, Instagram at Showbiz Simon, Facebook / This is Simon Thompson. And that's, I think, about, oh, and also the front page of Reddit.
Really? Right now?
Yeah. Last night it was the top article, something I did for Reuters this week about Jackie Chan.
That's very
exciting.
We'll
talk about that later. But yeah, apparently also on Reddit.
You're a man of the people.
Well, it was just nice. When I found out, I was like, am I there in a good way? Or do they think I'm a bell end? So I'm like, actually, it was in a good way. So I was very happy with that.
I wish that I knew how to navigate Reddit and how to use it.
I have no idea.
No clue.
Someone sent me a
it's
screen
just
grab.
This magical website that does incredible things for traffic. So thank you, people of Reddit.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to start at the top of the show just addressing last week's show in which I didn't feel like I brought my best attitude. I thought, I was kind of a dick to this good man right here, for which I have apologized profusely this week privately. But I did want to address, apologize to you, the fans, as well, because I didn't give you guys the best show that I know that we can give you. And so hopefully this week will go much better. Won't happen again.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And you're entirely forgiven.
Cool. Okay, where do you want to start, big guy? You pick. Dealer's choice.
Let's kick off with Lando. Because you came in very, very excited about that.
Normally, I weave the rumor in and out.
Let's just do it.
Okay. Well, there was the report, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, that Donald Glover was the first choice to play Lando Calrissian for Lord and Miller. And we haven't heard much since then.
Yeah.
Now, last week, I hit the batting cages with a trusted friend and source, and he had sort of mentioned, because I asked for an update on things, see what he had heard. And he said, he heard it's Donald's, that Donald is in talks and making a deal to play Lando Calrissian. However,
right,
I got a call last night. And the caller...
is it Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart is Lando Calrissian.
Excellent call.
The caller indicated that there may be a scheduling conflict that is going to keep Donald Glover from this. He has this show Atlanta starting.
Yeah.
I think it's next week or whatever on FX. I'm sure that they are planning a season 2, whether it's been announced or not. I don't know what the deal is with all of that. Maybe they're just shooting a second half of season 1. Although it seems like it's been wrapped for a while. So either way, the caller sort of said Atlanta could very well keep, get in the way of him doing it. Now, this is not the first scheduling conflict in Hollywood history.
Yep.
Adam Driver for Star Wars had to really work out his girl's schedule. And that meant, Lena Dunham ended up, sort of writing Adam out of that season. He wasn't really around very much, which allowed Driver to go off and do Star Wars. The problem is that if, The Force Awakens was casting Lena Dunham as Rey, trying to picture that, she couldn't do it because she's the show.
Yeah.
She is doing everything on the show. She's the lead of the show.
She's one of the girls.
Exactly.
She's
one of the girls. So she would not have been able to do that. And Donald, I think, is in a similar situation where Atlanta is him. There's no Atlanta without him. He does everything on the show. It's a huge demand on his time. And I don't know if FX is going, they've sunk so much money into the promotion of the series. I don't know if they want to just put it on the back burner and bring season 2 back 2 years later.
So what do you do? I mean, is it, because Fox and Disney are both big.
Yeah.
And they both want him. So who is it kind of playing chicken, or do FX go, we're going to just, we'll wait. And he can do He can do
this. It would certainly help the next season of the show, but it also would really hurt the momentum, because I think it would put a big chunk of time, like a huge chunk of time, between these seasons.
Yeah.
Now, FX has done that before with, like, Louis, and I don't think that they're opposed to it, especially, you know, if it's going to benefit them in the long run.
It's difficult, though, with the show. It's slightly different with movies. It's different with the show because if a new show comes along, if you're a show that misses a season or misses even half a season, you can very easily kind of lose your place in the popularity queue.
Right.
So if you're a movie, and movies get changed all the time, 6 months, 12 months, fine, we know it's going to come. And there is a Disney timeline for the Star Wars stuff. But with TV shows, if you kind of lose your spot in the queue, it means you could kill the show.
Right. And I saw the pilot months ago for Atlanta, and he may have something here. My old NYU colleague, Donald Glover. The show is unique. It's original. It has a voice. It's interesting. And I hope you guys all give it a watch on FX when it debuts. I think it's this month. We'll see if he's able to navigate those scheduling waters. Normally, things like this work out because they don't want to deny the actor this opportunity. But in some instances, it doesn't, because it's just logistically impossible. So we will see about that. But I don't know. I don't know who they will go out to next if it doesn't happen. But right now, it looks like that report, I think it was on Birth Movies Death, is accurate.
I think if they do really want him to do Lando, and they're that far down the road, I think they'll
get it done. They'll find a way.
They'll find a way.
All right.
Disney, get their man right now.
There's a way.
Star Wars. If somebody asks you to do Star Wars, you do Star Wars.
That's my feeling towards it, but I also know if you have a responsibility. I mean, it's like if you're married and with a kid, and then Mila Kunis knocks on the door. You go. I would certainly, you know, respect Donald if he did end up sticking around because he has made this commitment and he's loyal to what he has built over on that network. But as you said, you're right. Hard to turn down Star Wars.
Hard to turn down Mila Kunis.
That's true, too.
Although the only person that my wife has said she would be okay if someone turned up on our doorstep and was like, hey, Simon, do you want to run away with me, is Halle Berry.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon unless she gets a thing for little, slightly portly, bald guys from the UK.
Well, but I'll kidnap niche. You.
Thank you. Excellent. Deliver me to the berry.
Ding.
Cool.
What do you want to talk about?
Okay, let's work through some news from earlier in the week, and all to do with superheroes and some newer stuff. So something new, Jon Favreau joining Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, his character, Happy Hogan, we haven't seen since Iron Man 2.
I think he's in Iron Man 3
briefly. Is he in Iron Man 3 briefly? I could not remember.
I hope so, because I think I wrote that last night, but all right.
Oh, okay. I can't remember whether he was in 3 or not, but he, perhaps not the most important or the most beloved character, but I did speak to him about this when I was interviewing for Jungle Book a couple of months ago, and I said, look, is there any chance of you, because he's really busy, and obviously he's doing the Jungle Book sequel, and he's kind of moved more into the directorial sphere more seriously, and he was kind of like, well, you know, no, not really, and I'm like, that sounded like you were going up at the end, and he was kind of, yeah, there are no plans to. Yeah, I kind of thought that he might be coming back. Yeah. I thought we hadn't seen us. Whether it would have been in one of the TV shows or whether it would have been in another movie, I thought, you know, maybe Infinity War would have been a, you know, fantastic kind of, you know, just as a supplementary character to make that work. But yeah, so he's coming back in Spider-Man Homecoming, which is getting full now. That film is getting full. There's a lot of people in that.
I did the cast list yesterday. I was writing out the article, and it was like, oh my God, I recognize like 30 of these actors.
Yeah, and the thing is that we've seen this with especially Spider-Man films before. You can have too many people in it, and you can waste people, and it just feels a bit overstuffed. I'm sure they know what they're doing. Just saying.
It's like, this is so tricky for me to talk about because I went on a Spider-Man set visit and signed the NDA. So, did I know that he would be in the movie? Yes.
Yeah.
I can't get into the context of his appearance.
Is he Spider-Man?
That's the twist of Homecoming.
Yeah.
I can't really talk about how Happy is used in the movie. I had to sort of get permission to even confirm of that report, sort of. Not that it was officially confirmed. It was like a weird, like, anyways, yeah, you can expect to see Jon Favreau in the movie. I think that's really cool because I love him. He's just a lot of fun. I like that character. And it makes sense since obviously we know that we're already going to see Robert Downey Jr. in Spider-Man.
Yeah. We not long after the show finished last week, the news about Ben Affleck teasing Deathstroke came out. That was, I think it was Friday, wasn't it? Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, he dropped the video. Yeah. That moment we were all like, what is that? And then I think our pal El Mayimbe came out and said that he's going to be the villain or one of the villains in the standalone Batman movie.
Which would be quite interesting. Deathstroke is not a bad guy I'm particularly familiar with.
He looks a little generic, and I don't know.
Deathstroke also sounds like the name of a superhero.
Deadshot.
There's a lot of that, you know, Deadpool, but also, right. Deathstroke sounds like the last masturbate before you die.
Right. It's the day.
It's the Deathstroke. What was he killed by? Wanking. But hey, what a way to go. But Joe Manganiello is apparently rumored to be linked to that role.
He has been rumored for that
pretty much everything. But
going back a couple of DC movies, right? Yeah.
So do they just want to get him in a movie? And they go like, we like Deathstroke. Let's get you in.
Only so many of these guys have superhero physiques, and he is one of them. Yep. So he has an
amazing body.
Yeah. You know, so do I, though. You just haven't seen it.
It's just more of it.
Yeah, I just hide it behind this desk every day. I think Joe would be great for a superhero movie, whether it's the DC Universe or the Marvel Universe or something, off-brand and different. Deathstroke, I don't really know much about him as a villain. It was interesting to me, though, the timing, because they're shooting Justice League right now. So is this like a sort of button at the end of the movie? Like, why... You know, the Batman is not in production. Why did they have a whole character, you know, shooting a scene unless he must appear in Justice League? No.
I'm assuming so. I mean, there are so many of these franchises now who have these characters popping up, and I'll get to another one in just a second, where they do just use them as effectively kind of plot bridges, which I'm still quite interested to see how some of these work, because not all of the projects where characters, where obviously they're looking to create them as a seed character and give them their own movie, they haven't kind of got... writers attached. So it's kind of like, you know, that game used to play as a kid. You'd write one line of a story and he'd fold it over and and it's kind of like, so we're just going like, what can we get this guy to do? I don't know, macrame. Okay, he's a big macrame fan. Shove that out there. And then some guy's going, how am I going to get Deadpool to be into macrame or Ant-Man or
I love how you pronounce that
macrame.
Macrame.
Someone's actually said, a bad future saying in the chat, it's not like they're going to have to service each of these characters entirely separately. This is talking about Happy Hogan. I'm sure Happy will just be part of the Stark scenes. You might be right. You could well be right.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah. and also, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, this week I saw this on Slash Film, and it's probably been elsewhere as well. Doctor Strange and Guardians apparently might have an interdimensional connection.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would think if anywhere within the Marvel Universe right now is going to have that, I think that is probably it. Now, I'm starting to get a bit more excited about Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't entirely on board with it a couple of months ago. It's piquing my interest now. And now I know there might be a link with Guardians.
I think it looks super super trippy. I like the director, Scott Derrickson. It was written by one of our own, you know, Matt Massaworm from Ain't It Cool News, Robert Cargill. And I like the cast. They got a really classy cast on that movie. It just looks so trippy and heady. I am looking forward to it because it looks like something different.
Yeah. No, well, I think that's why I'm interested in it, because it does look a bit different.
Right.
So it has a level of intelligence, I think, that is going to be quite fun.
You know what I'd love to see?
What's that?
I don't know if Disney would ever do it. A big set piece set in Disney World or Disneyland, like at the Magic Kingdom, where the Avengers have to like defend Disneyland. Like, get it away from, like, these anonymous skyscrapers in New York and stuff, and put it in, like, in someplace iconic, and why not its own park?
I like that idea. I also hate that idea. We can have George Clooney popping in from Tomorrowland, Eddie Murphy from The Haunted Mansion, you know, the Country Jamboree Bears.
It's funny because he's the only, George Clooney is the only celebrity I've seen in Disneyland for the Tomorrowland premiere. It was so funny to see him walking around. All right, let's move it on to What else? Well, we can stick with the comic books, but was there any other comic book news?
I don't think there was, actually. No, not going through my list. If there is, we can always come back to it. Let's very quickly touch on perhaps my most ridiculous story that I've heard, or certainly film idea that I've heard in probably the last 12 months. This is, again, ready on slash film, Fox developing Camelot.
Oh, no. That's a pilot.
Is it a pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. It sounds like an awful film.
Sorry, yes.
It's a pilot for TV?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because the idea of Arthur being a graffiti artist fighting Dark.
Art and Lancelot is Lance, yeah. And Gwendolyn is Gwen.
Yeah.
Give me $1 million.
Fighting dark magic. I can't imagine that anybody...
Who comes up with this stuff?
But who said, yeah, bro. Yeah, good idea.
So he's a graffiti artist, but...
Yeah, but he's not called art. He's called art. She's not Gwendolyn.
Super
Gwen.
Edgy.
Yeah, but he's like fighting magic. It's like Banksy meets Harry Potter. I'm sorry. It might be an amazing TV show.
I was totally with you on it. I think I tweeted something.
I think
that
might not see the first season out. I think that might be pushed to the 11 o'clock slot on a Thursday night.
I was like, is that even a real slot?
I don't know. They're going to make it, and they're going to put it in there and bury it.
That's the local news on Fox.
Yeah. How can you imagine?
Yeah. Pitch Perfect 3 got a director.
I was very pleased about that. Interesting choice. I love the Pitch Perfect movies. I think they're great fun. I mean, they're not, you know,
all right, high art. Let's debate.
But I do enjoy them.
I like the first one. Mm-hmm. The second one was awful. You like that?
I didn't think it was awful. I thought it was way, way, nowhere near as good as the first one. But I do enjoy it. I think that a lot of the characters that were selling points the first one were very underwritten or poorly written for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depended too much on Rebel Wilson's character. I would have liked... I mean, it's just a golden rule anyway. Would have liked more Anna Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just in anything, any more Anna Kendrick is a great thing. But yeah, I enjoyed, you know, I liked some of the set pieces didn't quite work for me. I think mm-hmm. it felt a little bit too forced at times. I still enjoyed it though, but I am intrigued to see what they do with the third film. And having this director, whose most recent film was one of the Step Up movies,
yes.
Right? Could be fun because we could see it become more of a kind of up the musical showmanship.
Well, I didn't
bit.
Realize that she's known for those OK Go videos, that she did some of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
spectacular.
This could, you know, maybe incorporate an element of that.
Yeah.
Imagine the, what is their name in the film?
Oh, the Bellas.
The girls.
The Bellas.
Yeah,
Bells, yeah.
Exactly. Imagine them sort of doing an OK Go style.
Getting
OK
Go.
Thing.
I interviewed OK Go about 18 months ago, and I spoke to them initially about doing like a James Bond theme and how well they could make a brilliant, you know, a live action version of the credits. And I could see them getting involved in this, maybe, potentially.
That would be
and
interesting.
And really creating a spectacular sequence. Can you imagine an OK Go finale with that director
right,
and that
exactly.
cast?
Maybe Trish will use her... It's either Trish C or Trish Tsai. I don't know how to
pronounce her
name. But maybe she calls Damien Kulash and those
through
guys.
The university, all that kind of thing. I mean, they've always done creative extras and creative marketing with
right.
that. So I think if they've got that connection, she would kind of be crazy not to involve the guys in that. And take it a little bit more, maybe the music a little more rockier as well, which would be quite fun. So,
yeah, listen, I'm totally willing to give Pitch Perfect 3 a chance.
Yeah.
The second one didn't completely sour me on the franchise. I just thought it was a step backwards. What else we got? Jumanji.
Mm.
Karen Gillan joining the cast.
Yeah.
I know some stuff about this movie, and I haven't decided whether to say it on the show or write it in an article. I think I want to get a little traffic out of it.
Okay.
But it's a little different, this movie, than what you may be thinking and expecting.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't want to say more than that at this point.
Okay.
But Karen Gillan, what are your thoughts on her?
I like her.
Cast?
I mean, I enjoyed her, you know, in her previous TV incarnation. You know, it was obviously part of Doctor Who.
Ah, right.
I liked her very much in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the TV show that she did over here was Selfie, wasn't it?
I
saw some of that. I didn't pay a huge amount of attention to that. It didn't do particularly well, but I do like her. And I think, I mean, The Rock said kind of like offhand was like, you know, we needed to have a woman, but she's good. And I think she'd be, Yeah, she doesn't get enough stuff, and I'm interested to see her within that. And I think she will add a nice dynamic between sort of, you know, the Jack Black, the Rock, Kevin Hart. I think it'll be an interesting, you know, kind of sorbet within that, because they're all quite strong characters.
I'll put it this way. I think that this movie's good for her career.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be a hit with The Rock and Kevin Hart and everybody.
Potentially a franchise as well.
That's true. I think it's good for Sony because they've gotten a rising star who isn't really overexposed. Mm-hmm. That said, going in a movie against Dwayne and Kevin, I think you need someone with like a big personality. Maybe not. Maybe you need like a balance, but I feel like just so that you don't get swallowed up entirely. Mm. And I don't know that she has that. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe she will provide that sort of counter balance.
Yeah, I mean, having interviewed her a number of times over the years, as an individual, she has quite a strong character.
Okay.
So if
that's
she can
true.
Bring...
It's about how the character's
written. Yeah, if she can bring that to the fore... I think it could be potentially interesting. But also this week to do with Jumanji, apparently the Rock is going to be more of an Indiana Jones type character.
That sounds about
right
to me.
Which makes sense. When I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That could work. That could be good fun. As he's clearly never going to be Indiana Jones.
Why not
make him Indiana Jones in another movie? But yeah, so I'm the more this comes together, actually, the more I like it. And it feels like a family adventure that will appeal to more than just a family audience, which I think is a good thing for Sony right now.
I would love to see The Rock in an Indiana Jones movie, but if it is, in fact, Pratt, maybe The Rock could be the villain. That would be like a really fair fight.
Those guys facing off in Raiders, you know, in the market stall kind of thing. That would be awesome.
Who knows?
Cast Rock as villain in indie movie.
And and speaking of Chris Pratt, may have seen a certain new movie of his.
The Pretty
recently.
Good 6.9.
I don't know that I can say. Yeah. I certainly can't say what I thought about it.
Okay.
But there is a man named Vincent D'Onofrio in it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Who's doing pretty interesting, an interesting character in that film. And he just joined the Death Wish cast.
He did.
I was bringing it roundabout.
I like it.
He's going to be playing Bruce Willis's brother. This sounds awesome. And who else just joined the movie?
Dean Norris.
We don't know who he's playing, though, right?
No, but as I see that Eli Roth, who I'm going to be talking to again in a couple of weeks, is getting together some kind of middle-aged bald dudes, just saying...
Dean Norris and Vincent D'Onofrio are like two of the best character actors, I feel like.
But if he's looking for bald fellas, I'm available. More than happily. I'll more than happily do it.
That'd be a whole movie with just a bald guest.
Hello!
Dean Norris, I meant maybe he's playing the cop who's like, sorry, you know, we can't help you, Bruce Willis. I can't, you know, find your killer. Maybe he's the leader of the
who's
gang.
Maybe involved in it somewhere.
Or maybe he's a third brother. But,
That's a... Yeah. What are the chances?
Three brothers.
I want to meet the mother figure who has these three, like, large man baby kick-ass dudes.
D'Onofrio is one of my favorites. Yeah. He's genius. He's just so great and everything.
Have you ever met him?
No, but I have interviewed him.
Yeah, he's very funny and actually a very gentle guy. Yes. Quite intense, but very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Totally against a lot of the characters that he plays. I love him. He's great.
You know, I wanted to, we probably should have done this at the top of the show. RIP Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Tough, big loss this week. You know, obviously he has sort of been retired. He hasn't been around for, what is it, 15 years?
Yeah. I mean, he did interviews a few years ago. He didn't do a lot of interviews. He kind of kept himself to himself. And it turns out that for the last few years, he's obviously been, afflicted by Alzheimer's.
Right.
I don't know if you sort of, obviously when the news broke, his nephew did a lot of...
Yes, I wanted to talk about this.
And the story that he told about why they didn't go public with the diagnosis was fantastic because, you know, obviously children would still recognize Gene Wilder.
As Willy Wonka.
And, you know, still to this day, you know, the fact that children know him as Willy Wonka as much, if not more than Johnny Depp. I think is brilliant, you know, multi-generational. And the fact that he didn't want people to know because the smiles that people gave him and the smiles that children gave him especially, he didn't want people to feel sad for him.
Right.
And didn't want there to be, quote unquote, one less smile in the world.
He wanted the kids to keep running up to him. Yeah. And the parents not being like, oh, no, don't bother him. He's sick.
Yeah.
That was an amazing story. I'm glad his nephew shared that. And, you know, he is not really of my era and generation. Mm. I'm not a huge Mel Brooks guy, so I don't worship at the altar of Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein. Obviously, I recognize how important they are in the history of comedy. To me, he really was Willy Wonka. Maybe that's because my family was in the candy business, and I sort of looked at my dad as a Willy Wonka. And shout out, Dad. To me, Gene Wilder was Willy Wonka, and he was so fantastic in that role. And it's coming out again this weekend.
If you haven't seen it. Yeah, that and Blazing Saddles are going to be in a number of AMC theaters over the weekend. So do go and check out the AMC website if you've not seen these films at all, or if you've never seen them on the big screen. Seriously, there are a lot worse things you could do.
And this is the slowest weekend of the year as far as movie going goes,
yeah,
really.
There's not a lot of good fresh stuff out, and there's not a lot of stuff that's really worth revisiting that's still out. So if you are looking for something to do this weekend, really seriously, go and enjoy this and, you know, take the family. And Blazing Saddles is, you know, one of the greatest comedies of all time. It's just, it's a great movie. And if you haven't seen the original, you know, Willy Wonka, do go and see it. And there's nothing like seeing these films on the big screen, and especially, sadly, obviously now he is dead, experiencing that, watching that with an audience in a completely different context is just going to be a marvelous experience.
Did you see, and I know Quint at Ain't It Cool News reported this like a year ago, and then I think Boris Kidd at Hollywood Reporter reconfirmed it this week that Spielberg made a play for Gene Wilder to, you know, be in Ready Player One as the creator of the Oasis, and obviously Gene wasn't feeling up to it, but that would have been amazing. And I hope Gene Hackman is also in retirement, and I hope that someone is able to coax him out. I know he's very content with his lifestyle. He's writing books, you know, in Montana or Idaho or something like that. But I would love one more great Gene Hackman performance.
All those guys are great. And the sad thing is that we're starting to go through this wave of people who are getting to an age where we're losing these guys. And we have a lot of, you know, great young talent and great talent with us. But some of them don't quite match these guys.
I think it's
a golden age.
It's one of a kind, Gene Wilder.
Yeah, that's a phrase that's always banded around, golden age. And it kind of is, because, you know, there aren't many people that we sort of look back, say, in the last 20 years where it's like a golden. I mean, we've got movie stars, but it's not. So a lot of it is not quite the same as it used to be.
The whole
industry's
changed.
Yeah. But I actually, staying with Gene Wilder for a second, I got to interview him in London.
Oh, wow.
In 2005, and he was pretty frail then. It was for his autobiography that came out, and the paperback came out, and he did a few interviews at Waterstones in Piccadilly in London. So I got to have like 15 minutes with him, which was great. And it was fantastic to just sit and talk to him about all this stuff, and, you know, about Wonka and about how he felt at the time. Obviously, the Johnny Depp version was coming out, Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, so we talked about that. He wasn't really that keen on it, but Roald Dahl wasn't a big fan of the original Willy Wonka movie. You know, and he didn't think that Gene Wilder should have played Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. He thought Spike Milligan, who was a British comedian, should have played it.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, it just, this, I can't.
He had perfectly embodied Wonka's spirit.
Yeah, certain roles you cannot imagine anybody else playing, and it was Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka. And it was just great to be able to sit down with someone like that and have a conversation, because he just didn't do it very often. Even then. And it was just wonderful. So genuinely sad. And I got my signed copy of his book out the other day. And I just, you know, remembered. I was trying to find the interview, and I sadly couldn't find it, or I would have posted it. But it was just great to just be able to sit. And you don't get that these days. There are many people who want to sit and just talk to you. And you're just like, fucking hell.
Mm-hmm.
You're just amazing. Yeah, but no, wonderful guy. Right. Genuinely sad to hear about his passing.
So check out Willy Wonka or Blazing Saddles if you haven't seen those this weekend. Those are coming back out since the only new releases are Light Between Oceans and Morgan.
Yeah. Have you seen either of those?
I saw Light Between Oceans.
What did you think?
I thought it was okay. I didn't really care for it. The performances were good, particularly Alicia Vikander, and the cinematography is gorgeous. This is a beautiful movie. But it is long and slow and takes super forever to get going, like an hour for, you know, that plot, the plot to really kick in. Independence Day is also coming back out.
Yep.
And so is Finding Dory.
Yes, and Ghostbusters is coming back.
Yeah, everyone's throwing the movies out there this week just to try to, you know, make a couple more shekels.
But I mean, it's looking like Don't Breathe is probably going to take the top spot this week.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Light Between the Oceans is probably going to go top five. Morgan will probably round out the top five.
It's right. Suicide Squad will be in there.
Suicide Squad and then Kubo. It's looking like that's going to kind of be the top five. It's got a lot of staying power. But the films from that studio tend to do that quite well. They're not the biggest films, mm-hmm. but they do stick around in the chart. They kind of, word of mouth is good for that, and Kubo word of mouth has been excellent.
I really want to see Finding Dory. I missed it along with Secret Life of Pets this summer, so maybe I will check that out this weekend. Since Morgan, the reviews have not been very
good. I've yet
to
hear a good thing about Morgan. I mean, I like the look of the trailer, and I've done, you know, a few pieces on this week for Reuters, but it's just not, and it feels to me like it's a film that Fox are not kind of really pushing.
And if you're going to see it in an AMC theater,
yes,
I don't know if that is this weekend or soon, but you're soon going to be able to reserve seats at AMC theaters.
Yeah, they are. They're looking to go all reserve seating. They're going to try it out in New York first of all. I remember back in the days when you could just go to the theater and sit wherever you want. Which was, you know, kind of fine. But everybody kind of has their, you know, people like to plan, they like to book their tickets, they have a favourite place they like to sit. And I think it's great because you then, I've done this in the last sort of year or so, I've got into this habit where if I want to go and see a movie like Thursday at 7 o'clock, if I can't kind of get the seats, if it's quite busy and I can't get the seats that I want, I'll look at what's, you know, whether the 8:30,
right,
if it's doing that. So I will still go and see the movie, but I'll try and find one that fits with my schedule where I got a seat that is kind of where I want to be. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, getting there and it's a really busy screening and you're kind of like the back right-hand corner, the back left-hand corner. It's just kind of doesn't...
I appreciate the reserved seating at both the Landmark and the ArcLight. So I think that this is, you know, the way to go for AMC. It sucks when you get into a movie theater and you have to fight for a seat, and there's one in between people. Oh, can you move down so that me and my husband can sit together?
Yeah. It stops that gapping system where people do. It's like if you go to the theater, you're not in your lounge at home. You're sitting room. Someone's going to want to sit next to you. You don't unless. You want to buy that extra fucking ticket. Buy that ticket. You can do what you can put pretzels on the seat if you want to. But don't leave it empty. And this will do away with that, which I think is good.
Okay. What else is shaken out there?
Well, we were talking about Gene Wilder. There's another legend this week that had some big news. Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Honorary Oscar.
Pretty cool.
He's never won an Oscar, which is kind of...
I mean, what category would he really fit into?
I mean, yeah, there's no saying that.
Until there's a stunt Oscar.
Best Rush Hour franchise.
I think, you know, he has contributed so much to cinema. Obviously has made some amazing, amazing action movies. He's still opening films.
He's working on another one in Sydney at the moment. I think it's the biggest budget Chinese movie not made in China.
Okay.
He's filming that in Sydney at the moment. He started doing that about sort of 6 or 8 weeks ago. And he's like, just before that, he was doing a film in London. So he works insanely hard.
Sure.
It's possibly one of the... It'd be interesting to look at, you know, comparing his box office internationally to some of the main Western stars and having a look and seeing how that compared, actually.
He's definitely one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he just did the Johnny Knoxville comedy Skip Trace, which just went basically straight to VOD here.
Yeah.
And it made like 60 million opening weekend in China, so... He's not going away anytime soon.
But he's going to pick that award up in November.
Right, and I'm glad that the Academy has chosen to honor him for his work.
And that's actually the article that went to the front page of Reddit for me this week.
Hey, there you go.
Voice piece I did for Reuters there. Rumors that are very quickly dispelled. Warner Brothers denying this week that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is... If you don't know, it's obviously, I mean, who doesn't know this, but it's the book that came out quite recently and previously and still is the West End show that is the older Harry Potter. There have been rumours circling around this that perhaps Warner were going to, you know, use the rights and they were going to turn it into a three-movie thing, and maybe Daniel Radcliffe would come back and play Harry Potter. Warner have turned around this week.
I would if I was him.
I saw you reacting to this on Twitter this week. Yeah.
Some of Radcliffe's choices are just baffling.
Have you seen him
Imperium.
Imperium.
No, I haven't. I actually heard it wasn't bad.
Mm. I'm like, interested. But
stuff needs... like horns and there's just, I don't know.
I like Daniel. I've worked with him many times.
I've
great.
I got to hang out with him socially at a festival and lovely guy. Super nice guy.
Great actor.
Yeah.
Given the right projects.
Here's the thing. I'm not a Harry Potter guy, so like... I'm out. I'm out on Cursed Child. I'm actually not even going to see Fantastic Beasts. I told Josh, assign someone else to review that movie in the fall.
I mean, I enjoy Harry Potter. I'm certainly not a diehard Harry Potter fan, but I mean, as a franchise, I mean, obviously we know they're doing now the three Fantastic Beasts movies.
Right.
It's a cash cow.
Of course, and you want to keep that thing
going. Look at Universal here in Los Angeles and also in Orlando. Huge money.
Right, exactly. Now Warner Brothers isn't even the only studio that is wrapped up in Harry Potter mania. And it honestly, it delights men and women of all ages around the world. I'm just this weird Grinch who can't get into the boy wizard and his Hogwarts world.
A lot of people
who
don't get like Star Wars and all that kind of thing. You know, not everything's going to appeal to everybody. But Warner came out with a statement this week and said there are it's a stage play and there are no plans for there to be a film.
Right. Well,
I'm kind of like... I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Warner Brothers. I'm thinking
it is early. It's like, why would you make a movie announcement? Because then everyone's like, well, fine, I'll wait for the movie. And then they don't go see the play that you just developed. So, I totally get that.
But they were writing the sequel to Fantastic Beasts. Like, I mean, God, they started writing that a long time ago. Because even before it was announced, I knew that it was, you know, in a late stage of work. Because I know people who are working on it. So it wouldn't surprise me if there are no plans for there to be a film. It's like kind of we're thinking about maybe there being plans for it to be three films.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. So we'll see what happens. But I, if they did, it would be no surprise, and I would not blame them for doing that because Harry Potter is the specky boy wizard who laid the golden egg.
I don't know if Rupert Grint would be available because
I don't know.
He's got that Snatch TV series.
Well, yes.
Low blow. A bunch of reviews hit this week. And the Venice Film Festival, I woke up actually and read the Nocturnal Animals reviews, and I'm pumped. I am so excited for that movie because in my head, the premise, like the log line, was a little tricky for me to wrap my head around. And now I think, you know, reading one or two reviews, and again, the trade's so many fucking spoilers. You got to be careful with those trade reviews. I'm just pumped. I loved Tom Ford's first film, A Single Man. This has an incredible cast. So super excited for Nocturnal Animals. La La Land also got amazing reviews out of Venice.
It looks beautiful. It really looks beautiful.
And it sounds like Emma Stone is really impressing people. And then Arrival also got good reviews, not great reviews, which is sort of what I was expecting. Either way, it's been a good week to be Amy Adams, it sounds like.
Yeah. Talking of red-headed actresses, I mean, I'm genuinely very excited about Amy's new project. Like I said the other week from the trailer, I'm just like super psyched about that.
Which one?
Arrival.
Okay.
But also with Emma Stone, something I watched completely by accident, it just came on TV the other day, was Easy A.
Mm-hmm. Good movie. I like Easy A.
It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have forgotten about that movie. But I love her in that. It's such a good movie with an awesome soundtrack as well.
Yeah. Will Gluck. He's a talented director.
So if you're looking for something else, just fine and stick in the DVD player or stream this weekend. Easy A is just so much fun. Richard Linklater.
Oh,
I got very
man.
Excited
this
about this
This
week.
Was a monster scoop over by THR. And I'm sure Justin Kroll of Variety will not be... happy to hear us give them credit. It sounds like he was on it too. But yeah, Richard Linklater doing a sequel to The Last Detail with Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, and Lawrence Fishburne. Here's where I shock you with my ignorance. And I came so close to watching this film while I was unemployed this summer and couldn't bring myself to do it for some reason. I've never seen The Last Detail.
I've never seen it either.
Okay.
I know it's considered something of a Nicholson classic.
Wedded in ignorance, yes.
I mean, I've always kind of...
It's on the list.
Film, I've had a weird relationship because I've had it... You know, I've seen it in video stores when I was growing up and I was like... I'll go and watch something else. And it's been on TV, and I'm like, I'll go and watch something else. And then just recently, it came up on like one of my lists, and it was like, I'm going to watch something else. And then this comes out, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah,
it's should have watched it.
It's
so
in
I'm
the
gonna
queue.
Watch it.
Yeah. I just love that Linklater is doing. He's like, he zigs when everyone else zags. This dude is so unpredictable. And there's something awesome about that. And
amazing
with these three
cast.
Actors together, yeah.
Bryan Cranston, pumped. Steve Carell, Lawrence Fishburne.
Can't do much better than
Holy
that.
Holy shit. Do you think Nicholson?
I don't think so.
No?
Unfortunately. We may have seen the last of Jack.
That's a shame.
You know, I don't know what his health situation is.
Okay.
Not to cast aspersion. But I don't think that we will see him in this movie, and I don't know if we will see him in another movie. He seems to be pretty happily retired at the moment. And the same goes for Sean Connery as well.
Can't we tempt him out with like a hot 20-something woman? Like a come outside.
I watched the De Palma documentary. Have you seen this?
I haven't.
Oh man, it's good.
That is also on my list.
It was super fascinating. And there was a really I just bring it up because of Connery. There was a really good story about him filming the Untouchables, and he got like you know in the big shootout at the end where his character spoiler alert for those who haven't seen a 30-year-old movie dies. He got like dust in his eye, and they you know they like had to rush him to the hospital or whatever. Very precious with Sir Connery, and he did not want to like go back and shoot it again, and De Palma made him. He was pissed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be allowed to be the guy to tell Sean Connery.
The other thing is that like he doesn't you know he wasn't used to getting shot.
Okay.
You know, he gets shot like 1,000 times in that scene, and they're like, you know, you played James Bond, you've never been shot, and he's like, no. I'm James Bond. Yeah. I don't get shot.
All I do is part of the job.
They shoot at me, but they don't hit me. Okay, what else?
We touched on this last week when we were talking about Captain Marvel and the shortlist of directors. And we discussed the fact that Rebecca Thomas had been...
Becca Lou Thomas.
Had been discussed and then was not on that shortlist. And is she going to come through and boom, this week update... Her name is also on the shortlist to direct.
Well,
Captain
the update
Marvel.
Was from us, wasn't it?
Then somebody picked it up from us. But I think, sure. So she is back on that list. Terminator 2 3D release. Shifting. Right.
Quick segue.
Tangent, yeah.
Terminator 2 3D, one of my, favorite movies.
I never get bored of watching that movie.
Yep.
There has been a 3D release planned for a long, long time, and James Cameron just kind of hasn't really got down to doing it and making it happen and releasing it. We're now looking at that coming out next year. As much as I love the movie, I don't feel the burning desire to see it in 3D, having already for many, many years done the Terminator 2 3D ride and attraction
in
Orlando and LA at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. I just feel I've done it.
There's so many kids, though. So many kids who have not seen T2. And
do we need to show it to them in 3D?
No, but I think that with James Cameron, he would oversee... Like, I'm sure he's overseen in a ridiculously, you know, intricate 3D process. I don't think this is one of those half-assed things that they toss out for money.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling if they do go see it in 3D, it'll be worth every penny.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm buying my ticket.
Yeah, the ticket is
I will be there. I'll be sitting there. I'll have pre-booked my ticket through AMC. And I'll be there to watch it because I could watch that film a million times. And I'm really big at the moment into kind of getting a bit more experiential movie going. So Cinespia here in Los Angeles. Cinespia, if you don't know, in LA, they do a lot of outdoor screenings. So they do like the Hollywood Forever is where they do it. And they do a summer season at the moment. A couple of weeks ago, I saw Sabrina there. This weekend, they're doing The Birds. Next weekend, 16 Candles. So anything that adds an extra dimension or an extra bit of, you know, reality to something, I'm interested in doing that. And Terminator 3D, you could show it to me through a hole in a shoebox in Japanese. I would still watch that.
It's what a great
I'm
movie.
There. So, but I'm just wondering if we need it. But as you say, Cameron would probably do a good job. I trust Cameron.
Netflix had a couple of cool trailers this week. One was for Mascots.
Yes.
Which I didn't realize was going to be a Netflix movie. Mm. That's the new Christopher Guest film set in the world of sports mascots. It has a really fun cast. What did you think of that trailer? Did you see it?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Christopher Guest stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, even some of the smaller movies of his that haven't landed particularly well. I just the character creation and the way he draws
the
characters
world, yeah.
And the way just the way it all fits together perfectly, the comedic timing and the dryness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I could not be more excited about this, and the fact that I don't even have to put on pants and leave the house to go and
you're
see
big
it.
On not putting on pants.
I don't
I love
like
that.
To wear pants. What can I say?
Who does?
I know, right? Apparently the police like you to do
The fist looks awesome. Yeah. Chris O'Dowd.
I'm very, very, very excited about that.
Yeah,
I can't
I'm looking
come
forward
soon
to that
enough.
Too. That said, the coolest Netflix announcement this week was Stranger Things.
I have heard a little bit about this show.
Have you not watched it?
I haven't watched it yet. It's on. Wow. It's on my. It's my Labor Day weekend.
Bump it up the list and binge. So. I love the way that Netflix did this. This is how you announce a show coming back. You know, with Netflix, we get to know the chapter titles. I don't, you know, I'm sure network TV, they do have episode titles, yep. But we don't really know them like we do the Netflix titles, mm-hmm. since we have to click on those. The 9 titles that they debuted as part of this little 1-minute teaser, it sounds so cool. It got me even more excited for season 2 than I already was. Yeah. I know you haven't seen it, so you can't share in my enthusiasm.
No,
but it was a really cool way to do it.
I've held off on. I've been really, really busy recently, and I've just been holding off on Stranger Things until I could actually sit there and just really absorb it.
Surprise.
Really,
you don't feel like it's been spoiled
it's
for
not,
you?
Well, no, because I've tried to avoid reading a lot about it, and obviously there's been a lot about, you know, a number of the characters, Barb and Eleven.
Right.
Out
so
there.
Much it, about Barb.
So much Barb right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kind of, I'm trying to avoid it because I don't want to have that spoilt for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to be able to sit down, and because everybody's so much, I mean, it's like Game of Thrones. I haven't watched Game of Thrones because I just want to be able to sit down and watch it in chunks. Not necessarily all in one go, but in chunks and go, yeah, great, okay, fine. Absorb that, work through that, go on to the next bit. Rather than watch one a night and then be distracted by the world and then do another night and then maybe not watch it for 2 nights.
Sure.
I do want to watch it effectively as like a movie or a mini series.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I'm doing this Labor Day weekend. Tomorrow
I envy you.
Is all about that.
Have a great time.
I'm very much
it's
looking
a,
forward
it's a
to
blast.
It. Genuinely really looking forward to it.
There are a couple of other things. We got a few minutes left in the show. The Maze Runner is going to be starting production, allegedly,
which is
reportedly in February.
Which is good, because they're not great movies, but I do enjoy the Maze Runner movies.
No. Yeah, I didn't care for the first film, so I'm not really into the franchise. Good to see that Dylan O'Brien has made a recovery, though, or is on track.
And I like him as an actor. I like him. I think he's very easy to watch, and I think this is kind of fluff that he's making a name in to prove box office bankability. I'd like to see something from him in the future.
I liked him in The Internship.
More, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in Deepwater Horizon.
Yeah.
He's there with Gina Rodriguez. Mm. So Maze Runner, what was I getting at with this?
You're saying it's going to be in production next year.
Right, exactly. But the weird thing about this is, though, that Fox would not confirm. Beats me. It was just like, you know, you saw the deadline break, you call the studio to try to confirm it, write your own story, and couldn't get it on that one. So I wonder what the holdup was.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast, you said, had some kind
of
a
sneak? Yeah, the sneak peek in the last 24 hours of Beauty and the Beast. Now, this is a film that I know people who've worked on it, and you get people who work on movies, and they're like, oh man, it's going to be awesome. But people are coming away from this going like, holy shit, seriously, this is a great cast doing some really great stuff, and the cast is amazing. And the more I'm seeing about this movie, the more, and both you and I are on the same page on this, are absolutely convinced that for Disney for next year, this is going to be, and you said it's going to be the Alice in Wonderland, probably very easily a billion-dollar movie. It's going to be one that is going to just is going to be hard to beat. And I think for Disney as a studio, it's going to achieve what they just haven't managed to achieve for whatever reason this year with BFG and Pete's Dragon. And Pete's Dragon, which is a great movie, by the way, that's still out in theaters. Labor Day weekend.
It.
Go and see it. It's really good. But yeah, I think this is going to be their their big one for next summer, the one, the family film that everyone's going to need to try and beat.
I think it could be a $1 billion movie.
Very easily.
It could be their next Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
So...
But the cast is great, and the more I'm seeing about it, and the little teasers and stuff like that, and there's some table read-through stuff that came out the other day, it just smacks of...
I like Bill Condon as a director.
Yeah.
I think he's going to keep it classy and keep it fun.
Mm. But yeah, so that I'm super psyched about that. So Labor Day weekend then. So what's on your... what would you recommend if people haven't already sort of... if they're looking for something to go and watch or catch?
Well, I watched a movie this, the other night, and I said that I was going to update my top 10. I haven't yet, but it's definitely on. In fact, it's a top 5 movie of the year for me. Wiener, the documentary.
Yep.
Amazing, amazing documentary about embattled politician Anthony Wiener. And his long-suffering wife, Huma Abedin, who finally announced that she's going to divorce him. I don't know if it was this week or late last week.
Yeah, it was this week.
You know, like the timing of these things, it was crazy because obviously the movie ends and they're still together. But watching it with with that other layer of information, I just it was absolutely fascinating. The access that they had to this guy's campaign, his marriage. And you know what? My roommate and I turned to each other at the end of the movie and we were like, I'd vote for him right now. I don't care how many dick pics he sent. I don't, and I know that we expect our politicians to have a certain moral character and, you know, be ethical or whatever.
Yep.
This guy, he fought for people, and sending dick pics didn't really affect how I think he would lead a state. He was just so charismatic and I really liked his platforms and stuff, and I'm not a political person. So Anthony Wiener, a tragic rise and fall.
Well, I mean, aside from dick pics, we actually sent a dick to Mexico this week.
Hey!
Which is, you know...
Now you're going to get us hate mail from Trump people.
Oh, yeah, true. I get a lot of that anyway. Done. Fine, whatever. Just I don't care who you vote for. I kind of do, but just make sure you vote this year. It's really important. Whichever way you vote, just make sure you vote. I do want to see that, and the really interesting thing about that documentary is the fact that when they started making it, they weren't making it, obviously, about the scandal. The scandal happened why they were making it. And he still, credit to him, was like, well, you're making a documentary with me, so you may as well get all this too. He didn't shut it down. He didn't lock them out. He was kind of like, you know, warts and all. You know, balls to the wall, for want of a different thing. But yeah, so he kept them in there doing it. And it's definitely on my watch list for this week.
Hey, AfterBuzz, do we have to wrap up the show, or can we get 10 minutes?
Yeah, you got 10 minutes.
All right, we'll take to the 10 minutes because we got a little bit more news and notes and things. And there was you had a really good story idea. I want to close the show with.
Okay,
just real quickly, Sarah Paulson joining Ocean's 8.
Yeah,
we don't know if she's the 8th member
because
I was expecting somebody else.
I would like to see
her
if
she's the villain. Yeah, that would be so good.
She would be so good.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, yep,
me
God,
too.
Yeah.
We are in agreement on that.
Oh, and also on a Sarah Paulson note, if you're a fan, of American Horror Story.
No, I don't watch those.
Okay. It's a great show. If you are a fan, you know Halloween, Universal do Halloween Horror Nights every year.
Yes, they're getting a...
And they're doing... one of the houses this year is around American Horror Story. There's Austin Krampus. They're doing Halloween, and they're doing Exorcist as well.
That would be awesome. I do want to go this year. I haven't been... It always seems like such a shit show...
It's great. I'm going to the launch night, actually. It's going to be superb.
I was
going to
say, is there like a press
preview?
Yeah,
there is. Yeah, there is going to be one.
Let me ask you to send me those details. That sounds fun.
But yeah, so it's awesome. But so if you love the show, then you get to experience it firsthand, which is great. So.
Sam Mendes doing a new James, developing a new James and the Giant Peach. Mm. Do we need another one of these movies?
I don't know if we need one. I'd be interested to see what he would do with it. But do we need one? I don't think we do. And I'm not quite sure. I think we've seen, certainly internationally this year with BFG and, you know, obviously Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka was big for Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. I don't know how well those books are translating with current cinema audiences. So I think if it's a really interesting take, the audience might go for it. Do I think we need it? I don't think we do.
Yeah, I am with you on that. Lost City of Z lands at Amazon. Did you see this trailer?
I did not see it.
It is out there. I don't know. I just can't get excited for this movie. I've never really been able to. Charlie Hunnam just doesn't do it for me on the big screen.
No, yeah. I'm the same with you, with Charlie Hunnam, but I saw some stuff at Comic-Con, as a lot of other people did. Obviously, it's quite a popular event, with King Arthur. And there's something about him that every time I think, I'm not that fussed on Charlie Hunnam, I see him in something like that. I didn't really like him in Pacific Rim, but I see something and I'm like, do you know what? He's actually, when he does it right, like Sons of Anarchy, he's actually really watchable and he's really enjoyable.
King Arthur could be a good role for him because he does, you know, I grew up watching him on Undeclared. Mm. And then he was on Queer as Folk, right?
Yeah.
And I liked him in Green Street Hooligans. I like when he can sort of add a little humor, a little edge to things. And that version of King Arthur seems like it will allow him to. Lost City of Z strikes me as more of like a, you know, kind of stuffy period drama. And I just don't know if that works for me.
No, I'm not really a fan. I mean, I hear a lot of good things about things like Outlander. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't...
Demi Moore joined Rock That Body.
Yeah.
I love Demi Moore. We don't get enough Demi Moore.
I had exactly the same thought like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was watching, I can't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, it was About Last Night. I watched About Last Night and St. Elmo's Fire back to back, two of my favorite 80s movies. And I was just like, fucking hell, we need more Demi Moore.
Yep.
What? She this hasn't really done thing. A lot in the last couple of years of any particular note. And I genuinely really like her as an actress.
She's terrific, and I think Rock That Body is just the kind of movie that could use her. And will play to her talents. James Franco, Jack Rayner, and Zoe Kravitz joined this movie, Kin. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, the information. I just know that it's from the Baker brothers, who I've been hearing about for years from buddies in the commercial world. They direct commercials as twin. So congrats to those guys. They could be the next Duffer brothers for all we know. Mm. Nate Parker is going to TIFF after all. So I will. I have a date with him in Toronto.
Of course.
I think it's pretty bold if Fox Searchlight to continue on with this press tour. But, you know, my Oscar predictions are going to be coming out soon. I think people will, you know, not that I have a reputation as an awards blogger, but I hope that they start a conversation because I did try to do to come at them from a different vantage point. My editor, Josh Dickey, and I just feel like January is 4 months away. And that is a long time. And everyone, and I was, you know, if you asked me last week, I would have said it's dead. Dead in the water, Birth of a Nation. There's plenty of time to turn that around.
They're keeping on with it. They really are keeping on with it. So
exactly. And that says a lot to me that they're not, you know, he's not tucking his tail between his legs and running from this. He is ready to face it head on because he believes in this movie. Something noble about that. So we will see if this completely blows up in their face and backfires next week or if somehow the conversation swings in his favor.
Well, the worst that can happen is that it'll do the festivals, and I think it's playing London Film Festival as well, and then it doesn't do box office. That is, for the film, worst case scenario. Doesn't do box office, doesn't get nominated for awards.
The awards are secondary, I think, to Searchlight. They have a $17.5 million acquisition fee on top of likely $35 million in marketing. So I'm just making this up and saying it's a $50 million investment.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money tied up in this. They need it to be a commercial hit to find an audience. The award stuff is just the gravy on top. I read a good article on IndieWire this week about the whitewashing controversy behind The Great Wall with Matt Damon and how people in China don't really care. I don't want to rehash the whole article. I would just say head over to IndieWire and check that out. What I did want to close the show with was your idea about the Ouija sequel, so why don't you take that away?
This was actually something I there was a guy on Slash Film, if you go to the Slash Film website, Jacob Hall wrote this piece this week talking about Ouija, Origin of Evil. Now, Ouija was a remake that came out a couple of years ago, and it was a really bad...
I didn't see it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I was kind of curious to see it. And I watched it, and it was just a load of, you know, faceless teens doing, you know, ooh, scary horror movie in a house. It wasn't particularly scary. It wasn't particularly well acted. It wasn't particularly... something happened.
We do have some breaking news.
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a second.
Let's finish this.
But yeah, so Ouija Origin Evil is coming out, which is a kind of sequel. Mike Flanagan, who you will know from things like Oculus, and here's something else you should watch, Hush,
right,
which is on Netflix, which is a really, really good thriller stroke horror. And Mike's basically, he's been working on Ouija Origin of Evil. It comes out in theaters in a couple of weeks. And it's not a sequel, but it's still based around a Ouija board. And I have a relationship with with Mike on Twitter, and we chat about things and some of the films that are currently stuck within the relativity issue that are due for release with Jacob Tremblay and various other people in it. But Ouija Origin of Evil actually genuinely looks like a good and very enjoyable horror movie, and we're seeing something of a renaissance in strong, intelligent, bankable horror movies right now. But the question that Jacob poses is, can Mike Flanagan make a good sequel to a bad film? And from what I've seen of it so far, and I'm very keen to see this in previews in the next couple of weeks. In fact, I'm sending emails about it today. I think you totally can, and I think we've seen that before in Hollywood. And I think as Mike is not making... He's not made a sequel to Ouija. In fact, it wasn't written. It wasn't created as a sequel to Ouija.
He basically just gets to reinvent the world of Ouija.
And they've kind of gone, okay, take this film and we'll put it in Ouija because we want to make that, mm-hmm. we want to make the Ouija thing, a cinematic entity. So let's try and tag it on. And that often happens in Hollywood. So yeah, I think you can. But Ouija Origin of Evil was not written as a Ouija sequel. That's not what Mike came to it, you know, as a director as, and, you know, that's not how it was written. So I'm interested in that. And yes, I think the answer to Jacob's question, and do make sure you read the article, I'll post it actually in the YouTube links afterwards, is can Mike make a good sequel to a bad film? Yes, I think you can. And I think Mike probably has. He's a good filmmaker.
Yeah, I didn't care for Oculus, but I was encouraged by Hush. Mm. I didn't see the first Ouija, but yeah, hey, if the horror community goes for it and the reviews are good, I'm down to check out the sequel.
Yeah.
I know he's a real up-and-coming genre guy, and he does have, I know you did last summer, which is very near and dear to my heart, so I hope that goes well. Okay, so that breaking news real quickly, which we're going to end the show with, is that John Polito... has died at age 65. Yeah, R.I.P. He played Gideon in The Crow, one of my favorite movies. He was on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And he's in a bunch of Coen Brothers movies. He has passed away, and that is a bummer.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors where the minute you see his... Even if you don't know his name, the minute you see his face, you're like, oh, that guy.
Right.
That's such a shame.
Did he die of? That's a good question.
I mean, he's actually quite old, so...
He was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in 2010.
Okay.
I'm just going through his credits right now. It looks like he was in the middle of filming something called The Maestro. He recently appeared in Big Eyes, in Gangster Squad. You would absolutely recognize him, and it's a bummer. Yeah, he was Dafino in The Big Lebowski, Barton Fink, Miller's Crossing. Yeah. He's Johnny Casper, that's right. And Homicide, Life on the Street, which he was fantastic on, one of my favorite shows. R.I.P. He'll be missed.
That's such a terrible. Yeah, I mean, we're just looking at pictures of him now that have come up on the screen in the studio. He's if you don't know his name, the minute that you see his picture, you will know exactly who he is. That's just a terrible shame.
Yep.
Terrible shame. Great actor.
All right, that'll do it for this week's Meet the Movie Press,
now,
guys.
You are not here next week.
I am out. I'm going to be at Toronto. If Simon is... Are you planning to do the show?
I will be here next Friday.
All right, then I'll let you announce the guest next week. But it's going to be someone who I think, you know, you're all familiar with his work. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at TheInSnyder. Make sure to follow my travails in Toronto. We have a lot of reviews and cool stuff coming up. And Simon, where can the good people find you?
You can find me at ShowbizSimon on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, this is Simon Thompson. Well, my week next week, while you're in Toronto, I'm going to Kathy Griffin's house this afternoon.
Wow.
In Bel Air to do a piece for Forbes.
That's cool.
I've got a great Anthony Michael Hall piece coming out this week.
Awesome.
Things you don't hear often. And I'm going to go and see Sully on Tuesday because obviously that opens in theaters next Friday. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Is it next? It's next week. Next
you're going
Friday,
Tuesday?
Right?
You're going, I'm going Tuesday the 7th?
6th. 6th, 7th?
I don't know when. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is the 6th. Man, I want to see that movie. I was supposed to see it the 7th, and then something else awesome came up. All right. Popcorn Talk Network. Make sure to rate, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave us good comments, since I know last week I got bad ones, and I deserve them. This was more like it, Simon.
It's nice to have you back.
Have a great Labor Day weekend. And same to you guys. Later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.